The last Mishnah in Maseches Chagiga speaks about the halachas of Kohanim, that during the Yom Tov, all the Kohanim, even those who are not Talmidei Chachamim, rather Amoratzim, they're all in the category of Tahor. That's the halacha. But after Yom Tov, we suspect retroactively that maybe the Amoratzim, who are not familiar with the halachas, became Tameh. Interesting kind of thing, that during Yom Tov, everybody's kosher. After Yom Tov, you look backwards, you start saying, uh-oh, there was some Kohanim that don't know the halachas, I'm sure they were Tameh. As a result of that predicted anxiety, we tell the Kohanim, don't touch the Shulchan during Yom Tov. You know, when they roam around in the Heichal. There was probably a little sign that says, hands off. Because if you will touch it, after Yom Tov, we're going to be choishes that the Shulchan became Tameh. We're going to have to take the Shulchan into the mikveh. And the Shulchan has to be constantly functioning because it says, lechem lefonai tamid. It has to always carry the bread on the table. And to make sure that there'll be this constant flow of Shulchan with the lechem, don't touch it. Okay. The Gemara goes on saying, by a menorah though, they could touch it. They could touch it. There was no sign, hands off, by the menorah. Rashi explains over there in the Chagiga, the last page, says Rashi, that, says Rashi, it says also by menorah the word tamid. And so how could you allow the Kohanim to touch the menorah? Says Rashi, by tamid, and that's the first Rashi in this week's parsha, tamid by shulchan is different than tamid by the menorah. In English, a very clear difference. The tamid of the shulchan is translated constantly. 24/7, the shulchan carries the loaves of bread. By the menorah, it doesn't mean constantly, but regularly. But you don't have the menorah during the day. It's tamid every night. During the day, it's idle. So you can toggle the menorah during the day, nothing will happen, it's okay. So let the Kohanim touch the menorah. No problem. That's what Rashi says. Asks Tosfos over there in Chagiga in the name of Rabbeinu Elchanan, what about Ne'emar Ravi? That lit the whole time. So also by menorah, Tami doesn't mean only regularly, but rather constantly. That's Tosfos Kasha. Says the Maharal of Prague, a religious Jew who lived some 400 years ago, a little more, 420 years ago, says there's no Kasha. Even if it means Ne'emar Ravi. And here he says, Mamash Abriska loved this. And then I want to show you how it leads to the day-to-day life. By the Shulchan, it says Tamid, it's a din in the Shulchan. The Shulchan has 4 feet. The Shulchan has to have the bread on it the whole time. And if you're going to take it to the mikveh, it won't be doing its Tamid. By the menorah, even if it's Ne'emar Ravi, it's not a din in the menorah. It's a din in the hadlaka. When you have a menorah, light a candle that will lit for 24/7. But there's no din to have a menorah the whole time. So you could be traveled to make the menorah during the day. How indirectly it's going to extinguish the Ne'emar Ravi, that's okay. As long as it's indirectly, it's okay. The tamid by shulchan is a din of the shulchan. The tamid by the menorah is not a din in the menorah, rather a din in the adlaka. He says, I'll prove it to you. Where does the Torah say to put the lechem on the shulchan? In Pashas Truma, which is before the Mishkan kicked in, the assembling of the Kelim. And there it says, have the Shulchan, have the Lechem on it. That means it's part and parcel of what the Shulchan's about. However, by menorah, it did say there to light a candle in Parshas Truma. There it said, Gviyeh, Kaftoreh, Prochea, the cups and the shapes. Where does it say to light a candle? This week's Parsha. So it's not part and parcel of the menorah. That's what the menorah says. So therefore, there's no problem. By the Shulchan, Tamid is the din of the Shulchan. And by menorah, it's a din in the hadlaka, not the menorah. That's what Ral says. What does this mean? So with that same shulchan, there was a nest that the bread was always hot. The moment that you put it on, 8 days later, on Shabbos, the next Shabbos, when you removed it, it was still hot. Why? So you can say, because it should be fresh for the Kohanim. Look how our boys treat bagels, which are a little bit hard. So could you imagine what's going to be a loaf of bread a week old? But that should have been kept fresh, not hot. Why is it hot? So Rav Hudna Zatzal, the Pachad Yitzchak Pesach, Ma'amar Nuches explains that there's a rule of thumb that whatever is disguised in the world, Olam for the word Nelam, in the Beis HaMikdash, it's revealed. In the Beis HaMikdash, it's the real, what really happens. The truth is, we are alive today. You could say, when we were born, that was the Chiddush, and then it just carries on. But Aliba Damas, we believe that every second HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making it to you a mouth-to-mouth recitation. HaMechadish B'tuvah B'chon Yom Tov Mimaseh Breshis. Chayim B'Ritzoinah. The Rambam says in one place, you know what death means? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu just lifts his hands, his finger from the button. And it stops the flow of Chayim. Because every second we're alive, not because once we were alive, every second you're alive like the first second you were born. But in the outside world, you don't see that. Like this desk was assembled once, and now it goes on its own. We don't believe in that. Hu amar ki hu amar vayei, hu tziva v'yamon. That pasuk in Tehillim. So therefore, you know how come the bread was hot when it was removed, like when it was put on? Because it's constantly being baked. So why is it, when it's baked, it's hot. Just when you go to Grozinski, then it's hot the first, two, 3 hours, and then it cools off. But that's not really what's happening in life. That's that ness of the Shulchan. Now, if you connect that ness to what we're talking about, it comes out the following. What's the message here? The word Shulchan is the source of the bruch of the world. That's what it says, the Shulchan of the Mizbeach, of the Midrash. Now that we don't have it, the Shulchan of every person. Look at the word Shulchan. It means lishloach, to send. What are you sending? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's flow is being sent through a Shulchan. He's sholach. When we say benching, why are you singling out the Shulchan? What about the chairs? What about the beds? I don't know, everything. You want to bring out Yishlach Bracha, and you want to emphasize it through the Shulchan. Therefore, there's halachas that when you bench, you should have crumbs left on the table, that the Bracha that's coming that moment should be chal on something that's there. What it means is, what the Maral says, it's a din in the Shulchan, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly sending the Hashva. That's how the world exists. Now, what's the difference if you're alive today because once you got a battery that will last 120 years, or you're alive today because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing now mouth-to-mouth recitation? You're alive anyways. What's the difference? It's a huge difference. And here I just want to illustrate it with a story that happened in the early 90s. In the early 90s, in the Frum Pool of Beit Ivrim, did you ever hear this story? The Frum Pool, you know why it's called the Frum Pool? It has a big black kippah over it. No, that's one reason. Another reason is because men, it has different hours for men and women. And there were two guys, both 25-year-olds. The lifesaver was called, the matzil was called Reuven, and the one who was swimming is called Shimon. And they know each other, and they see each other. Shimon would come every morning. They knew each other very well. And Reuven felt he doesn't even have to watch over Shimon, because he's a swimmer, he comes every day. But that morning, he had a muscle pull in one of his foot, and he drowned. Shimon almost drowned. It was a terrible pain, and he couldn't do anything, and he drowned. And Reuven didn't notice it. Only after 45 seconds, someone said, "Hey!" And Reuven jumps into the water and takes him out and starts doing mouth-to-mouth recitation. He already lost his conscience. And I think after 58 seconds, it's already damaged for the brain. I'm serious. He asked the people that may be in. He started doing the mouth-to-mouth recitation. Now, the rule is you got to do mouth-to-mouth recitation in an open area. You know why? Because the body of the other fellow starts to jerk in a very powerful way, and who knows what's going to happen. And that's exactly what happened here. They didn't do an open area. And Shimon, the one who drowned, gave him a kick from behind. Of course, unintentionally. A very powerful kick. And Reuven was thrown onto the wall. And he needed stitches in his forehead. But who cares now about stitches? You got to stabilize this guy's situation. So he did it. Even though the blood was coming off his forehead. And the ambulance came, and he took him to Shaarei Tzedek, which is literally across the road almost, you know, in the entrance of Yerushalayim. Shimon was in the hospital for 2-3 days. Baruch Hashem, it's okay. No damage was done. They had to check all kinds of checks. It's okay. He found out, someone told him what happened, that he kicked Reuven while he was doing it. He felt terrible. Reuven came to save my life, and I used that to kick him? Anyway, he came to his house a week later. They know each other again. They're good friends. And he gives him a beautiful gift, and he starts crying. So Reuven says, "Why are you crying? Baruch Hashem, everything's okay. What are you crying about?" He says, "I found out that when you were doing to me mouth-to-mouth recitation, I kicked you and you needed stitches." So Reuven's trying to begin to play dumb. I know what you're talking about. He says, "I know. I see that scar. You didn't have that scar before. I see you every day. There's a scar now. You're going to have a scar called Yamechayecha because of me. I feel like a non-kosher animal," he said today, "that you came to pump into me livelihood and I used it against you." So he told him, "Well, it's not your fault. You have to be minded." He saw the guy. "It's not your fault. I'm already married anyway. The scar's going to fade away. And it's still, you're not even, you're nothing. You didn't know what's happening." I think it was Mephiasen. But Lemaisa, what Shimon felt, we can understand it, that's the chur, which is a person should feel whenever he does an Avera. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu now is doing Timat visitation, this very second, and now he's kicking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says when a person does an Avera, he's kicking HaKadosh Baruch Hu's keser, and like scratching it through the mud. The Baal Tana brings it. And with what? The alignment of these giving you this very second. So if you got the battery X amount of years ago, okay, you know, it's, we already forgot. You get it now. And you took it against them this very second? Busha b'cherpa. That's enough gemina. So the shulchan is sholeach. That's what the Rav means. It's a din in sholeach. A din in shlichus. I can just tell you that once I was with the Rav Rav Yeshua, the Brisk Rosh Yeshiva, I never met him before. This goes back 25 years ago. And we're sitting in the car together. And we were together in an engagement party. And the Baal HaSimcha, my wife's uncle, asked me to take Rav Yeshua home. Fine. So we're sitting together in the car. And I apologized that I don't speak Yiddish so well. So I'm going to speak Hebrew. Okay, you made a comment. By me, it's best to support Yiddish for the Guta Ivlit. That's what he tells me. But okay, but anyway, I spoke. And I told him this word tomorrow. He tells me, who says this word? About din and the shulcha, din and the menorah. I said, the guy, he spoke Yiddish to me. El geduk zusammen mit der Menorah Mizrahi? Is he printed together? He wanted to make sure it's the same one. I said, yeah. That's how he talks? I thought he was like a philosopher, a Kabbalist. This is Mamash, I love this. Din and the menorah, din. Tell me another word, El Dech, sir. So I told him, tell me another one. And he was Mamash, you're Tzimina Kelim. And when he went out of the car, we already reached where he lives. He said, whenever you have a word like that, Lamar, please come tell me. And his Talmidim told me afterwards that he never gets excited. When you tell me even a great word, he says, no, no. That's the Brisk Mahalach. But here, Mamash, he says, I can't believe it. This is Mamash. I love this. The truth is, Lamar always talks that way. That's the emphasis. Even that got it the part. But we don't have that training enough because... Anyway, Sholeach, Shlichus, Talmid. Okay, I'll do it. Okay.